ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 सो आई एम गोइंग टू रीड फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भगवद् गीता एज इट इज चैप्टर 16 The divine and demoniac natures. Text 20. Asurim yonimappanna mudha janmani janmani aprapya eva kaunteya tato yanti adhamam gatim. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. Please repeat word by word. Asurim, demoniac. Yonim, species. Apanna, gaining. Mudha, the foolish. Jammani, jammani, and birth after birth. Mam, me. Aprapya, without achieving. Eva, certainly. Kaunteya, O son of Kunti. Tata, thereafter. Yanti, go. Adhamam, condemned. Katim, destination. Translation. Attaining repeated birth amongst the species of demoniac life, O son of Kunti. Such persons can never approach me. Gradually they sink down to the most abominable type of existence. Purport. It is known that God is all merciful, but here we find that God is never merciful to the demoniac. It is clearly stated that demoniac people, life after life, are put into the wombs of similar demons. And not achieving the mercy of the Supreme Lord, they go down and down, so that at last they achieve bodies like those of cats, dogs, and hogs. It is clearly stated that such demons have practically no chance of receiving the mercy of God at any stage of later life. In the Vedas also it is stated that such persons gradually sink to become dogs, and hogs. It may be then argued that in this connection that God should not be advertised as all-merciful if he is not merciful to such demons. In answer to this question, in the Vedanta Sutra we find that the Supreme Lord has no hatred for anyone. The placing of the asuras, the demons, into the lowest status of life, is simply another feature of his mercy. Sometimes the asuras are killed by the Supreme Lord, but this killing is also good for them. For in Vedic literature, we find that anyone who is killed by the Supreme Lord becomes liberated. There are instances in the history of many asuras, Ravana, Kamsa, Hiranyakasipu, to whom the Lord appeared in various incarnations just to kill them. Therefore, God's mercy is shown to the asuras if they are fortunate enough to be killed by him. Om magyana timirandasya gyananjana salakaya chakshurum militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. So, these verses in the Bhagavad Gita speaking about the demons is to discourage people to become a demon. So by saying like this, Krishna, that those who are demons, they will be born again and again as demons. And not only that, they will never approach me. And not only that, they also go down to the most abominable type of existence. They will get lower bodies. So if God is all merciful, how is that possible that, you know, it is said that But we find in this verse that God is never merciful to the demons. Why? Why? Question is why? If he's all merciful, why he can't be merciful to the demons? Because they don't want his mercy. Krishna is eager to give his mercy for those who want his mercy. But those who don't want his mercy, why he shall give it? They want the opposite. They want to be chastised by Krishna, by their misbehavior. So Krishna gives them what they want. Krishna, that is his kindness. In the Vedas it is said, nitya nityanam chitanas chitananam ekobhavanam yovidadhati kamam. He's the supreme eternal amongst all eternals. He's supremely conscious of everything. We are many. Chaitanam, he's Chaitana, he's one. But he's conscious of everyone. He's in the heart of everyone. He knows the desire of everyone. And according to their desire, he fulfilled their desire. Eko bahunam yovidadhati kamam. Eko one. Bahunam many. We are many. He's one. Yovidadhati kamam. But he's fulfilling the desires of everyone. So demons want to be demons, want to forget God. So Krishna fulfilled their desire. Why should he give them the mercy? That is his mercy. Get what you want. Suffer if you want. So this verse is to discourage people to become demons. If it is so bad to be demons, you have to go down in cat and dog's body, hog's body. Of course, the dogs and monkeys and hogs in Vrindavan are a little different. Prabhupada said, why there is so many monkeys and dogs in Vrindavan? You know the answer? Because those who misbehave in Vrindavan, although devotees, they commit sinful activities in the holy dham, next life they have to become monkeys and dogs and hogs to pay reaction for those sinful activity, for this misbehavior. And they will be purged of all, reactions. And then after this life, they will become liberated. After the life of dog and hogs. But Prabhupada said it's not a glorious way to go back to the spiritual world. It's not a glorious way. But here, they're not talking about these types of dogs and cats, no. Another type. I will reveal to you something, but don't tell it to everyone. One astrologer said that former Prime Minister Nehru.
You read that.
He was born in Switzerland as a black dog.
Sweden.
Then one rich lady has two dogs, one white, one black. The black one was Nehru in his previous life. Hare Krishna.
The reason he told he has weakness in sex.
Yes, he was also very against religion. He thought that advancement means industry, economic development. And
he is not much advanced. At the time of death, the Bhagavad Gita was under his pillow.
Still, because he was not religiously inclined. He himself said like that. I have no religious sentiment whatsoever. He said like that. He was not in favor of temple building and things like that. He was road and motor car and industry. That was his idea. His idea of progress was this.
That was priority. Those things were priority to him.
Yes, were priority. First priority. That's correct.
First priority is not temple.
Yeah, no, not at all. Not at all.
In Bharanangal, he told he is the modern temple.
Yeah, he's a materialistic man. Anyway, whatever it is, just see. I mean, if somebody born in India has a great opportunity to fulfill human life mission by becoming Krishna conscious. Because that is the purpose of human life. Purpose of human life is not just to make spiritual material advancement and technology, industry and all this thing, and forgetting the purpose of life. Once in Venezuela, South America, in a morning walk, Prabhupada, he saw on the highway so many cars going, coming, you know. And one man in a motorcycle, great speed, you know. He saw Prabhupada, the devotees, you know, in saffron. So he shout, "Demons, demons!" And Prabhupada asked, because he spoke in Spanish, no? So Prabhupada asked what he was saying. When he was told, Prabhupada said, no, the demons are in the other side of the fence, not this side, the other side. There was a big fence there. So no, he made a mistake. The demons not this side, the other side. Prabhupada said, if we stop him and ask him, "Why are you running so fast? Where are you going?" Or we stop anybody, you know, in the motor car. "Why are you going so fast?" "Oh, I have to get some money." "What for?" "Ah, to enjoy life." Is that the purpose of life? Just running like crazy? Here and there, just to enjoy the senses? You know? Without any spiritual goal in life, Prabhupada asked. People are ignorant. People are suffering. That's why they need so much this knowledge, Bhagavad Gita. Because due to ignorance, people commit so many sinful activities. And because of sinful activities, people have to suffer. So how to stop this? Only by transcendental knowledge, by the mercy of the Lord. If one is hear submissively, attentively the message of Lord Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, he will be enlightened. And when somebody becomes enlightened, then he stops committing sinful activity. Understand, why should I entangle myself in this vikarma, this unwanted activities that brings only suffering and misery? So when becomes intelligent, he understands what is what. What is the truth? The truth is what we are, a spirit soul, eternal, full of bliss, full of knowledge. But due to misuse of our free will, we came to this material world and we are suffering repeatedly, birth after birth, old age, disease, death. So if somebody is intelligent, he understands that I must find a solution to this problem. That people are just after finding solution to economic problem, this problem, that. But the most important problem, you know, birth, death, old age, disease, they don't think much about it. You know? So that's the problem. So, of course, Krishna is fulfilling everyone's desire according to what they need, according to what they deserve. Krishna is giving. He's maintaining all living entities. Like one lawyer in that morning walk asked Prabhupada, "What about, you know, scarcity in the world?" Prabhupada said, "There is no scarcity. Only scarcity is Krishna consciousness. You see that small bird in that tree? He is eating fruit. We all looked up, one bird was eating some fruit." Prabhupada said, "See, Krishna is providing food for this bird. Krishna is maintaining all living entity. So-called scarcity is due only to lack of Krishna consciousness." But people generally are good, the leaders are bad, Prabhupada said. They are being misled by bad leaders. Blind, leading the blind, following the ditch. So that is the situation of the world. The leaders are blind spiritually, they don't know how to lead people to the proper goal of life. And that's why people are suffering so much. And in Kali Yuga, it is said that the mental speculators, they will be prominent, and the true devotee, they will not be much known. And the Veda is compared in the dark night, cloudy sky, you don't see the stars, but you see the fireflies, a small light they have in the back, no? Fireflies. The star you don't see because of the clouds. In the same way, the cheaters and, mental speculators, and they are prominent in Kali Yuga. And the true devotees who are teaching, transcendental knowledge, Bhagavad Gita, they are not much taken into account. Even here in India, you travel everywhere, we just have a tour in South India, advertising so many Mayavadis, gurus, this, that, come here, go there. People even don't know what is Mayavadi or no Mayavadi, they just see something there. Once Prabhupada went to some big program, and Pandal program, with so many other yogis and so-called gurus to speak. And Prabhupada gave his talk, and after him came some Mayavadi to speak. Or before him, anyway. Before or after? After him. When Prabhupada started to hear all the Mayavadi nonsense, all is one, God is one, we are all God, and all this nonsense. So Prabhupada said, kirtan. He didn't want to hear any more nonsense. The devotee started a huge kirtan, and then he has to shut up. So he forced him to stop. But general people are innocent, are ignorant, they don't know. They think, somebody coming to speak about God, let us hear. They don't know what is Mayavadi or not. So they hear Mayavadi, they get confused. Not only India, I mean the West, so much in personalism. People believe in so many crazy ideas. People think religion is irreligion, and irreligion is religion. That's the symptom of demons also. They manufacture their own ideas. They mislead other people, but they have to suffer for doing this. Like once, some years, when Vallabhacharya came to Vrindavan, and the Parikrama Marg, he saw a big snake with many hands on biting, the body of the snake. Many hands. And he stopped there and he started laughing. Disciples say, Guru Maharaj, why are you laughing? So, this was a false guru, and these were all the ants over the disciples. He was exploiting the disciples for sense gratification. Now they are getting on him. So people due to ignorance don't know that there is a law of karma. Every action has a reaction. Anything you do, it comes back again. So we have to stop this ignorance once for all, forever, and keep ourselves always enlightened in spiritual life by constantly hearing, chanting, remembering about Krishna. In this way, darkness can't approach us. Because darkness is nothing else but absence of light. When the light comes back, the room immediately will be full of light. You will not see the half room in light, half room in darkness fighting to stay in the room, no. Darkness is only absence of light. The same way, ignorance is only absence of Krishna consciousness, of God consciousness. That's all. Once one is situated in Krishna consciousness and is fixed in his determination, then he doesn't have to go back to ignorance and darkness. Never again. So anyway, Krishna came to favor the demons by killing them also. That's also his special favor. When Krishna kills demons like Ravana, Kamsa, Hiranyakasipu, they get liberated. You know, from. So that is a special favor for Krishna.
It was predetermined.
Huh?
It was predetermined. Joy be joy.
Yeah, of course, that's different. Of course, that's Ravana, Ravana Kumbhakarna, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakasipu, then Shishupal Dantavakra, three times. Only three times, bas, no more. And only one creation. But Kamsa was another type of demon. Kamsa in his previous life, he was Kalanemi. And he fought the devatas, the demigods. And he was killed by Lord Vishnu. Then he became Kamsa, next life. And when Brahma's grandchildren, the demigods, they started to criticize Lord Brahma because he was chasing after his daughter, and they started to criticize him and laughing at him, and because of this offense they fell down. And they were born as Hiranyakasipu's sons. And they did something that they disturbed their father Hiranyakasipu. He cursed them. He told them, in the future your own father will kill you. So they were born again as the sons of Kalanemi. And after that, they were born as the sons of Vasudeva and Devaki. So Kalanemi became Kamsa and he killed his own children from the previous life. You know that? Yes. So everything has a reason why this happened. But when Krishna freed his father and mother Vasudeva Devaki from the Kamsa's jail house, she prayed to Krishna, please bring my children, I haven't had chance to show them love as mother, please bring them back. And Krishna brought all the children and the small, still small children, she fed them with her breast milk, and they became liberated souls. Because before going to Braj here, when Vasudeva brought Krishna to Braj, Devaki gave Krishna her breast milk so he would not feel thirsty on the way from Mathura to Vrindavan. So that milk became Maha Maha Prasad. So when this six conditioned souls took the breast milk of Devaki, they became liberated souls. They became pure devotees immediately. And so they went back to there. A high abode, heavenly planet, but they are already liberated souls. That's also Krishna's mercy. Kamsa, when he was killed by Krishna, he actually went Vaikuntha. Why? Because he was thinking at the time of death in Krishna with four arms, you know, Vasudev Krishna. So he went back to Vaikuntha. He went through the Brahma Jyoti, because sometimes they say Brahma Jyoti. Generally speaking, demons, when they are killed by Krishna, they go to Brahma Jyoti. But there are also exceptions. Putana, for example, she went to Krishna Loka, became a nurse, like mother to Krishna, because she gave us a mother, a breast for Krishna. And who was she in her previous life? Do you know? She was Shaurpanaka, Ravana's sister. And she was attracted to Ramchandra in a lusty way. She became very beautiful in the forest and went to ask Ramchandra to marry her. Ramchandra said, look, I am married, but my brother Lakshman, he is free, you go to him. So she went to Lakshman, please, you are also very handsome, please marry me. And Lakshman smiled, saying, no, I'm only servant of my brother. My brother is the king. You insist on him. So she went back to Ramchandra. Ramchandra said, yes, I'm king, but I made vow to have only one wife, Ekapatni Vrat. So is my wife Sita, please, excuse me. She became very angry. When lust is not satisfied, anger comes, you know. So she was attacking Sita, then to chop off her nose and ears. But next life, who she became next life? Who do you know? She became Kubja. Kubja. No, I'm sorry. Putana was previous life Ratnamala, Balish Maharaj's daughter. No, Kubja was previous life Sharpanaka. Kubja in previous life was Sharpanaka, Ravana's sister. Sorry, I made a mistake. Putana previous life was Ratnamala. Yes, Bali Maharaj's sister, or sometimes it is said daughter. Whatever it is, she felt motherly affection for Trivikram, for Vamanadev, because very beautiful boy. So she thought, as a mother, I would like to give him my breast milk, such a beautiful, I would like to have a son as him. But then when he took everything from her father with two steps, she became angry. If I have poison, I will poison this boy. So the two ideas came together as putana. She approached Krishna to give her breast milk, but also poison. But Krishna took the good thing and free her from the bad thing. So Krishna is so kind, so merciful. He gave her a position as mother in the Krishna Loka. So kind, so merciful, the Lord. And Kubja also, she became pure devotee by the touch of the Lord. She was attracted still to the Lord. When Krishna Balaram entered Mathura, she immediately ran, hunchback, ugly woman. But she had sandalwood paste for Kamsa. She didn't care for Kamsa, the king. She used that sandalwood paste to decorate Krishna's body. So Krishna accepted the seva. And he was pleased with her. So he stepped on her feet and pulled up her cheeks. And she became straight, beautiful girl. No more hunchback. Because previous life, she became more ugly. But in this life, Krishna was pleased by her service attitude. He made her more beautiful. And not only that, he visited her home and touching her body with his feet, she became completely free from any material lusty desire. She became pure devotee. That's her Krishna's mercy on her. So we see, if somebody attracted to Krishna even by lust or whatever, anger, whatever, they also get benefit because the object is Krishna. But those who serve Krishna favorably, that is much better. That's devotional service. Although Kamsa was thinking of Krishna 24 hours, but thinking of Krishna wasn't accepted as devotional service, because he was thinking of Krishna as enemy. That's not favorable. Anukulyena Krishna Unok should be favorable to Krishna. That is devotional service. To please Krishna. That's one definition.
Maharaj,
yes.
In this age, we are asked to recite the Mahamantra of 16 rounds.
Yes.
Haridas Thakur recited 2 lakh times daily.
Yes.
So it will take, in 16 rounds, we are required about 2 hours.
Correct.
Achha, then 1 lakh will take 6 hours.
Yes.
And 12 hours for 2 lakh.
Actually, he was chanting 300,000 names, that's 192 rounds. Generally, Vaishnavas in India, the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, maybe some devotees even now, they chant 100,000 names. That's That's 1 lakh. That's 64 rounds. 64 rounds. So Haridas Thakur was chanting 64 by 3. That's 192 rounds. Every day. We can't imitate. Prabhupada says 16 rounds is the minimum. If we can chant more, we should chant more. Of course. That's the minimum.
So, another 3 points. One is large number of times. And another point, with proper attention of mind and heart, so that the tears will come out from your eyes.
Yes.
Which is better? Whether we should augment, it should be more number of times, or it should be, if you try...
Why not both? Why not both? Why should one be without
both,
the other?
Both,
number is important and quality is also important. Both are important.
Both are important.
Yes.
But if you apply that quality,
yes,
so that tears will come out from your eyes, then it is not possible to chant 1 lakh time in a day. In 16 times in 2 hours, we finish it in mad race.
Anyway, Prabhupada asked us to chant minimum 16 rounds. If we can do that, we do that. If we can do more, anyway, the important thing is to do it sincerely, feelingly, not mechanically. Do it. Jiva Goswami advised that one should chant the holy name of Krishna in a helpless mood, as a child calling for his mother. That's advised. Feelingly. Helplessly.
They have tears from their eyes.
That will come naturally when we become advanced in spiritual life. That's naturally will come. Should not be imitated. If actually this tear will clean the heart from material contamination, if they are sincere, you know. But you see, sometimes people cry for Krishna sentimentally, and they go do some sinful activity. This is not real emotion, fake. Not real. Something real, the person become really detached from material desires. That's the symptom. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the symptom of somebody advancing in spiritual life is not shedding tears or jumping in the kirtan land. No. The real symptom is that the person become free from material desires. That's the real symptom.
Complete free from material desires in these days is possible. Even the dresses, these are also material.
Means material desire means for unnecessary gratification of the senses. We have to keep body and soul together. But we do it with the attitude of service to the Lord, that I have to engage this body in Krishna's service. So I have to keep the body in good health. I have to keep the body to give good rest and take proper diet and everything, with the spirit of serving the Lord, not for the idea of enjoy sense gratification.
There was one saint in Indian history. He lived for 300 years.
Yes.
Nowadays, yes. He was Troilonga's son. He was not having his clothes also. He felt these are also material things.
Yes, anyway, we are not after external renunciation. We are after service of the Lord, devotional service. We can use everything materially advanced for the service of Krishna. Prabhupada used airplanes, used typing machines, cars, money, everything for Krishna's service. So that is higher than just renunciation, you know, external renunciation. Once the devotee showed Prabhupada a photograph in newspaper, one yogi was rejecting money, somebody giving money, saying, I don't want, I'm renounced. Prabhupada said, you can take a picture of me with a lot of money for Krishna's service. For Krishna's service. So we can use everything in Krishna's service. Then everything becomes spiritual. Money is necessary to build temples, to print books, you know, to serve devotees, to do so many things. So we don't reject material things. When we say one free from material desire means give up lust, greed, anger, all these things. One has to give up. These things are not good for spiritual advancement. That's why I'm referring to. Follow the four regulative principles strictly. That is the thing. Yes.
You spoke from the monkeys and the identity here in Vrindavan. And so what is with the Vrishabhasis? So every year when I come, or every 2 years, this is much more bad for my understanding what I can see. So much praise that devotees from the temples are smoking, and I don't know what other things are going on. I don't understand. People are all go back to the next.
Krishna is showing us what we should not do. Of course, it is wrong on the part of Rijvavasi smoking biri. We know that. It is not correct. So we shall tell them, you accept Krishna as your spiritual master, guru, you should follow your guru. You should give up those bad habits.
Yeah. These people are go all back in the next life?
It's not something mechanical. Try to understand. It depends on the desire of the heart. It's not something mechanical. Somebody may think I'm living in Vrindavan, but if he's engaging in material activities, then he's not living in Vrindavan. He's just living on the surface, not touching the real Dham. But if somebody is living far away, but he's engaged in Krishna service, devotional service, he's always thinking of Krishna, he's living in Vrindavan. It's not a physical thing. Vrindavan is omnipresent everywhere. And Prabhupada took Vrindavan in his heart, took it everywhere. So it's not something external. We have to understand this is something deeper. Every holy place has an external and internal aspect. So people come to live in Vrindavan to do business, make money, enjoy the senses. They are not living in Vrindavan. They may think I'm living in Vrindavan. It's not a question of physical thing, it's a question of consciousness. Prabhupada said you can't go to Vrindavan by buying airplane ticket.
One thing.
Yeah. That's answer your question?
Yeah, wonderful.
Thank you.
Maharaj, in the Bhagavad, there is a description by Vyas gave about the picture and body of Lord Krishna.
Yes. Yes.
Very good slope, his father also has written.
Yes.
So have you seen any picture depicting everything in Srivatsa Chinna? Srivatsa in the chest?
Everything is there. Everything is there.
That type of picture has anybody constructed?
Definitely, yes, sure.
Which is that? Why I want this thing?
Have you seen the picture of Radha and Krishna?
Yes, I have seen. I have it in my own.
No, we have many other pictures.
But which one? That
the Kaustubha also there. Everything is there.
That is a distinct one.
Yes.
That one I want to identify. Which is that? One thing. Second thing, for Siddhi, in Bhagavad there is a slope.
Yes.
Different parts of the body is to be thought very sincerely, then you will get one Siddhi after another. And that relates to that picture.
But we are, the bhaktas, they are not supposed to be interested in yogic siddhis. This is also material desires. We are, try to understand, although the bhaktam explained about achieving mystic powers, siddhis, devotees should not aspire for those mystic powers because they are distraction from the highest goal, which is Krishna Prem. Pure devotional service. Distraction. We are not after mystic powers. A devotee should not desire mystic powers.
I have read that also.
But just as Kumja became without any extra endeavor because of her service to Krishna, Kumja became a very beautiful person. So just as Kumja became, the devotees, just by becoming sincere devotees, they develop mystic cities.
By, if Krishna wants to give, he can give.
If he wants to give. The, if they want, they can use them for Krishna's service.
Also.
And Vaishnava, we want Swarup Siddhi and Bhakti Siddhi.
No, Swarup Siddhi, yes. Swarup Siddhi means we become self-realized. We understand our eternal identity. Yes.
We can see the figure of Lord Krishna.
Yes. That may is possible. Prabhupada said, but we have to surrender completely to Krishna. We have to become pure devotees.
I am explaining myself.
Yes.
That picture, if you can identify, then I will try to think that picture always.
Of course. Krishna, Krishna's form are non-different. Krishna's picture is the same. Krishna's deity in the temple is same. Krishna's teaching, his name is same. But Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj advised, don't try to meditate artificially on Radha Krishna Lila. Try to chant the holy name without offense. And in due time, the holy name will reveal everything. Naam Rupa Guna Lila. The holy name in due time will reveal everything. Just, we should try to chant the holy name without offense. Then all perfection will come. We should strive for this, chanting purely. Then everything will be revealed in due time. In due time, we have to be patient, enthusiastic, and endeavor with confidence. Yes.
What is the minimum duration for that? What is the minimum duration of, for concentration for achieving that?
It's a question of purity of heart. We have to strive for getting purity of heart. When the heart becomes pure, the mind becomes pure, we will not think about any nonsense but only Krishna. Then when we achieve that, Krishna will reveal himself in our heart. Until then, we should try to chant offenselessly, without offense, the holy name. Try not to be distracted. Try to fix our attention. Try to chant in a helpless mood, feelingly. Try to avoid offenses. Then gradually, gradually, we can achieve. Sometimes it may take more than one life. So, is everything depending on Krishna? It doesn't depend on us. With that, we should try to do our best to please Krishna. That is Krishna's decision. Prabhupada said, one can become Madhyam Adhikari by his own endeavor. But Uttam Adhikari only by Krishna's mercy. Pure devotee only by Krishna's mercy. When he's pleased with our sincerity, with our surrender. There's no other way. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanandi. Hari Hari Bol.